normal labor and delivery.
Okay, normal labor and delivery. Penny, you're on call for maternity and your phone rings. It's a patient having contractions wondering if she's in labor.
It's always 3 a.m., right, when that phone call comes?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's never at 8 a.m.
No. But look, I don't know if she's in labor without examining her, because the definition of labor requires effacement and dilatation of the cervix, not just contractions. So we'll need to bring her in for a check. But before we do, let's refresh our memories on the three stages of labor.
Absolutely. In the first stage of labor, we see the onset of painful contractions until 10 centimeters dilatation. This is further subdivided into the late phase, which is a slow dilatation which can take hours or even days for that first 3 centimeters of dilatation, and the active phase, which is characterized by a more rapid cervical dilatation of roughly 1 centimeter per hour or less, and this occurs between 4 centimeters and 10 centimeters.
It's worth noting that there is some debate about whether the definition of active phase should be shifted from 4 centimeters to 6 centimeters. So that is something that's currently being looked at. The second stage is then from 10 centimeters of dilatation until delivery of the newborn. And so this is usually between 1 and 3 hours duration.
And the third stage is completed with delivery of the placenta. Now let's talk about physical exam, Penny. So you've brought your patient into the hospital and we're going to check her cervix, generally by way of a digital vaginal exam. Are there any situations where we wouldn't want to do that?
So if we think the membranes might be ruptured and she's not in labor yet, we don't want to introduce infection. So in that case, we'd use a sterile speculum instead. And if there's a possibility of placenta previa, we don't want to put our fingers there because we don't want to cause bleeding. But apart from checking the cervix, what other assessments will we need to do?
We will need to monitor maternal vital signs, fetal heart rate, do an assessment of the contractions of their strength and frequency, and also palpation of the uterus to determine fetal position and presentation.
Okay, so she's in the active first stage of labor and we need to do some monitoring. So we're going to keep an eye on the maternal vital signs. We're going to keep an eye on the fetal heart rate as well. And that may be via continuous external fetal monitoring or intermittent auscultation, depending on the risk factors.
We also want to monitor progress, and we do so with a vaginal exam every 4 hours or so.
Right, and if we have slow progress, we can use interventions like amniotomy and oxytocin infusion to move things along.
Pain relief options are also available, like parenteral opioids, inhaled nitrous oxide, epidural anesthesia, and non-pharmacological options that may help, like a hot shower or bath, a massage, TENS machine, and hypnobirthing methods.
And of course, one-on-one support is hugely important as well.
Okay, so now your patient is at 10 centimeters and she's pushing. What do you do?
So now we keep an even closer eye on things that were in the second stage. So we're checking the fetal heart rate more frequently or continuously, and we're checking the fetal head position and descent through the birth canal.
Assuming all is well, she can, of course, choose to push in any position that's comfortable for her, semi-recumbent, squatting, on all fours, you name it, she calls the shots.
Yeah, and have your gloves on, ready to catch that baby.
As the head is crowning, warm compresses to the perineum do seem to reduce the risk of bad tears.
And once that head is born, it will usually restitute to either the left or the right. You're going to check for loops of cord around the neck, and if they're pretty loose, you can pull them over the head. If they're tight, you can just leave them alone. And then we're going to do gentle downward traction on the head, which helps to deliver the anterior shoulder. And then we deliver the baby upwards onto the mother's chest.
And now we are into the third stage. Don't go clamping that cord straight away. Delaying cord clamping for 1 to 3 minutes is currently recommended unless the baby needs resuscitation. We also recommend active management of the third stage to reduce the risk of postpartum hemorrhage, which involves administration of oxytocin, either IV or IM.
A section of cord may be taken for blood tests or cord gases, and then the placenta is then delivered via traction on the cord with a hand above the pubic bone to guard the uterus and prevent uterine inversion.
It's as easy as that.